And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center, back for another week. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope everything is going well for you. And I guess I'm just going to try to say hope in every sentence since we are Hope Resource Center. I'm kidding. What I want to do today is I want to talk about a number of things that are going on. I'm going to keep it upbeat. I'm going to keep it positive. I could spend an hour on the hearing today in D.C. with the Planned Parenthood CEO, but I'm not going to do that. I may touch on that a little bit, not going to spend an hour on it, because what I want to do is I want to talk about alternatives. So what I want to do is I want to talk about places like Hope Resource Center and the work that we're doing every single day to love and serve the communities that God has placed us in. So today I'm going to touch on a golf tournament. You may be wondering why I'm going to talk about golf. Well, I'm going to talk about a golf tournament that we hosted yesterday at Gettysview. And it was a great time, a great opportunity for people to come together and stand up for life. Going to touch on that here in a second. I'm also going to talk about some baby showers that we had last week. So we had 9 baby showers last week at Hope Resource Center for women that chose life and their families. So that was a great opportunity to love on some people, and I'm going to talk about that. I also want to give a quick update on Life Matters. I talk about that every single week, and I'm going to talk about that until the week of October 11th when Life Matters is here. So I'm also going to touch on a story that was written on FoxNews.com, and it was written by Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who is the Southern Baptist president. So that he's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and as a Southern Baptist, we love Dr. Ronnie Floyd, and he wrote a great article about life and abortion and the unborn and how evangelicals need to treat it and deal with it in 2016. So a lot to talk about today, and I know I went through all of that very fast, but that's what we're going to do today with you. So again, this is Andrew, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center, and we're glad that you're listening. So first thing that I want to do is I want to talk about the golf tournament that we were able to have yesterday at Gettysview Country Club. If you have not been there and played golf, I'm just going to put all my cards on the table. I do not play golf. That was my first time visiting Gettysview, but playing golf is not something that God has gifted me with, so I try to do things that He's gifted me with and leave golf and other things to people that can do that well. So we were able to host a golf tournament yesterday. And just quickly, I'm not going to name all the sponsors, but we had great sponsors for the event. Appalachian Business Communications and Wyatt Insurance were tournament sponsors. And then Buddy's Barbecue provided lunch. Chick-fil-A provided breakfast. Chick-fil-A is a great partner. Buddy's Barbecue, a great partner. So what that shows is that shows that not only individuals are standing up and supporting life, but businesses are saying that the money that we're making through our business, through our revenue, the money that we're bringing in, we are going to use to serve this community and love this community. And what a great breakfast it was yesterday. And also, we had lunch provided by Buddy's Barbecue. We had Pepsi. They stepped in and provided some drinks for us. So just a great time all the way around. We had over 100 golfers. So think about that. Over 100 golfers coming out on a Monday morning early. I mean, we were out there at the golf course at 6:30 yesterday morning. I was on the show with Bob Bell, and then our golfers started showing up around 8-ish, so about 8 o'clock in the morning. Most of them took vacation days to come out and golf with us. So over 100 golfers. We had the whole course to ourselves, and it was such a great opportunity for folks to stand for life. So what you had was you had 100 people, mostly men, saying that we need to stand for this. So think about that. Now the golf tournament wasn't free. They had to pay to be in the golf tournament. All those funds obviously went to Hope and help with the expenses of the tournament and those type things. But think about that. 100 men said, I'm going to take a day off. I'm going to shuffle around my schedule so that I not only to play golf, but so that I can give to an organization that's doing good work. So we were certainly happy to see those 100 or 100 plus golfers come out. Just to give you an idea of what we raised. So this is the part that not just because it's a lot of money, and we're certainly thankful for that. But what I want you to see is I want you to see that a difference can be made whether you're volunteering, whether you're praying, or giving of your money. We talked to someone yesterday, and someone floated the idea of him being on a golf committee. Okay, so this fella is a very busy man, you know, runs a successful business, but has a lot of irons in the fire. Okay, so someone says something to him about being on a golf committee, and he said, look, I mean, I could shuffle some things around and do that, or I could continue to be pretty, big donor to what you're doing, and I'll be happy to do that. You just tell me where you need me. Okay, so he didn't say that out of a hateful tone. He said, look, I'm willing to do whatever it is you need me to do. You just need to tell me where you need me. So what we had yesterday is we had guys that said, look, I'm busy. I have a job or I have a lot of irons in the fire or whatever that may be. But they said, I can take, a few hours of my day and I can write a check and I can serve this community and I can help Hope Resource Center and love the men and women of this community. And so we were able to do that. So yesterday, when it was all said and done, we raised a little over $47,000. So think about that, $47,000, 100 plus golfers, some great sponsors. Some of those sponsors even paid as if they were going to play and never played. They just said, we just want to give. We want to help out. So over $47,000, and the vast majority of that is going directly to serve this community, going directly to allow us at Hope to continue to provide the services that we provide, to continue to do all of that at no charge. So earlier today, there was a hearing in D.C. of someone, asking questions about revenue and how much money they're getting and reimbursements and all of that. Well, at Hope Resource Center, if you walk in our door, we're not going to ask you about your insurance. We're not going to ask you how much you have in your bank account. We're not going to ask you any of that. We're just going to say, how can we help? You need a pregnancy test, we'll provide that for you. You need an STD test, you need treatment, we'll provide that for you. You need ultrasound, we'll provide that for you. Oh, you are pregnant. You need some parenting classes, we'll provide that for you. Hey, let us plug you in with a mentor, we're going to provide that for you. You need material assistance? Well, after you go through these classes and you meet with your mentor, we're going to provide, a baby shower for you that I'm going to talk about here in a second. So everyone that walks in our doors, whether they've scheduled an appointment, whether they just walked in off the street, we are going to serve them and not charge them a dime. So there is no revenue. There is no gaining money. There isn't charging of our patients. We're able to do that because people stand with us. We're able to do that because 100 plus golfers come out and because sponsors come out and say, we want to help. Businesses come out and say, we want to help. I mentioned Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is a franchise. So there's a number of different people in this area that own Chick-fil-A's. Okay, so yesterday we had one provide breakfast for the golfers. Well, I partnered with another one that's providing breakfast and sandwiches and chicken and different things like that for some of our baby showers, for some of our parenting classes. They're providing it for our staff, to love on our staff. The partnerships that we have in this community are mind-blowing. And I don't take that for granted. And the reason I don't take that for granted is because I know there are clinics like Hope around this country that struggle to find pro-life doctors. They struggle to find pro-life business owners. They struggle to find pro-life people at all. And that's concerning. But in the community that we've been placed in here in East Tennessee, we have a number of pro-life doctors, enough that we have a medical team of doctors. We have a number of pro-life business owners. We have great radio stations in town that help us out and support us. There's so many different people in this community that stand for life. And what I don't want to do is come on every single week or blog every single week and just focus on the negative, because there is so much good going on. And we want to, of course, never take that for granted, but we want to celebrate that there are people standing with us. So yesterday, as I looked out across, I got to use a bullhorn yesterday, which was a first, but as I looked off the balcony and I looked at all these golf carts, probably, 50 plus golf carts in front of me, and men from all walks of life, some of them on our board, some of them that was maybe the first time they ever heard anything about Hope was at the golf tournament yesterday. But as I look across and look through all of them, I'm thinking, these men that are here standing right now are telling everyone, they're telling the world that life matters. And they're going to stand for that. And not only are they going to stand for that, they're going to put their money where their mouth is. And yes, they came out and they got to play golf and they got different things. They got a gift bag and all of those things. But they know the money ultimately that they put in goes to help a mom in crisis, goes to help a man in crisis, goes to help clothe a child. It goes to help our nurses have the conversations they need to have. It goes to help us continue with parenting education and continue to provide not only love and support, but education. We want to be pro-life and we want these folks to choose life, but sometimes they need more preparation. They need more assistance. So we want to do that for them as well. So the $47,000+ that we brought in yesterday will go a long way in allowing us to continue that. So I want to thank you. If you're listening today and you're saying, well, yeah, I played golf there yesterday. Well, thank you for that. Maybe you're thinking, well, I wish I would have played golf, but I do want to get involved and I want to help out where I can. You can do that, investinghope.com. So you can go to our website, investinghope.com. There's a donate tab. You can donate there. You can learn more about us. Maybe you're like, well, I kind of like what he's saying, but I'd like to know a little bit more about him and a little bit more about Hope. Investinghope.com, you'll find everything you need to learn about us right there. So it's a great opportunity as we look across the board at clinics around this country. Some people do golf tournaments, some people do walks, and some people do 5Ks and marathons and half marathons and banquets and galas and all kinds of stuff. There's a number of things that these clinics do. But really all we're wanting to do with that is to bring attention to the community and what's going on. We want people to know that there are alternatives out there to abortion clinics. You don't have to be, I think it's a stigma that gets put on us quite a bit is, well, if you say you're pro-life, that obviously means you're anti-woman. Well, that is maybe the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. It is our pro-life stance that makes us pro-woman. So if you want to stand with us in that through praying or giving or volunteering, whatever that looks like, go to our website, investinghope.com. You can learn more about us there. Because what we want to do is encourage you to get engaged. Get engaged with us here in East Tennessee. Get engaged with the clinic. Maybe you're listening to this and you're somewhere else in the country. Get engaged with the clinic that you're involved with that's in your community. Because we need to be standing for life. We're prepared to stand. Are you? We'll be back in a second. We're going to talk baby showers here. So speak life, speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life, speak life. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. We are excited about everything going on at Hope. We're excited about everything going on around the country. And some of you may be thinking, well, why are you so excited? There's a lot of bad things going on. Well, there are. There are certainly a lot of bad things going on. But for this hour today, what we're going to talk about is the positive things that are happening around the country, the positive things that are happening in places like Hope Resource Center and clinics just everywhere. There are so many places doing great work every single day. So think about that as a pro-life person, if you're getting down or you're getting a little frustrated with everything you're seeing in the news, what I want you to do is I want you to sit back and for a second just think about the clinics, the pro-life clinics that are out there. The pro-life clinics that are stepping in and engaging with the culture and engaging with this community, the community that they're in and the work that they are doing to serve the men and women there and celebrating life. I got a text today from a friend of mine who's she's an OBGYN that used to be here in Knoxville, and now she is in Colorado. And she texted me and she said, I just spoke to an OB friend of mine in Knoxville, and she just saw a patient who is very much abortion-minded and wants to have an abortion. She said, I gave them Hope's information, but she said, please pray that she would choose life. So listen to that. That's a pro-life doctor who now is in Colorado. So God has taken her from the South, put her in Colorado where Jesus is needed, where pro-life doctors are needed. She's in Colorado, and she's touching base with an OB here in Knoxville. And what they're talking about is celebrating life. So they're talking about that because what they do every single day is truly bring life into the world. As OBs, they're delivering babies every single day. And so to see all the struggle that goes into that, to have a patient that says, I want to have an abortion, and then to know that these OBs are talking and saying, maybe we should recommend them to go to Hope. Maybe they need to go to Hope. Do you think an OB would recommend someone go to Hope Resource Center or a clinic like it if we weren't medically legit? I know that's not a scientific way to put it, but they're not going to recommend their patients to just go anywhere. But they're going to recommend them to Hope Resource Center because they know. They know when they walk in that door, they're going to be treated well. They're not going to be judged. And all the options are going to be laid out in front of them. They also know that if this person does choose life, they're going to need some assistance. And Hope Resource Center is going to help with that. So not only are they going to be served well medically with a nurse practitioner or a nurse, but then they're going to have follow-up care with mentors and parenting education and those type things. And when all that is done, when they've met all the requirements, because again, we're not going to push an entitlement-based agenda, right? So what we're not doing is just flooding these folks, regardless of what they do with car seats and pack and plays and those type things. What we're saying is, look, we want to help, we want to serve, we want to love you well, and in loving you well, we really think you really need these parenting classes. Go through these classes. After these classes, we're going to throw you a baby shower, and you're going to be loved so great. And so it's an opportunity there to teach. Hey, you earn and you learn and you earn. So as you're learning, you're earning. So it creates this mindset of hard work pays off, and that's what we want. We want them to know that, and we want them to understand that. So what happens after that is we have 9 baby showers. Yeah. So Friday afternoon we had 9 baby showers for women that chose life, for families that chose life. Now, some of these women come in and they have a man with them. They have the father of their kid. Some of these women come in, they have her husband with them. Some it's their boyfriend. Some of these women come in and they have their sister with them or their cousin or their mom. Maybe their best friend. But some of these women come in and they don't have anybody with them. And this is the only baby shower they're getting. So I want you to think about that for just a second. My wife is currently pregnant with our 3rd child. So we're expecting our 3rd in December. People are already asking us about baby showers. What can we do for you? And we're thinking, you know, this is our 3rd time around. We don't really have a lot of needs, but we appreciate it. I mean, we have people at church that are just wanting to love on us and do that for us. And so what we kind of take that for granted, I think. So when we see one of these ladies come into Hope, when they come in for their baby shower and they cry as we bring out the car seat, and they weep as they open up the onesie for their child, and then they see the pack and play, and then they see just clothes after clothes after clothes. They see all this stuff. They see diapers and baby wipes, and they're just crying out of joy. They're by themselves, and this is the only shower they're getting. So are you going to tell me that there's other places doing that? How many showers are abortion clinics throwing? How many showers are Planned Parenthood throwing? Now, we don't do it because we want to compete with them. I don't want it to come off as if I'm saying we're better than them. In some sense, I would say that we are. But what I want us to look at is That is what being pro-woman is about. That is what being pro-family is about. That is what being pro-life is about, is saying, not only do we want you to choose life, we want you to have this child, we want to help you in this process. So many folks on the pro-choice side will come over and say, well, what are you going to do when they have that baby? Well, we're going to step up. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when they choose to have that baby? Are you going to step in and help them out? Are you going to love on them? Are you going to wait for the government to do that? You see, what tends to get lost in the shuffle here is people push this agenda as if the government is tasked to take care of all these people and all these babies. Now, in some cases, the government must step in and take care. But in a lot of cases, we should be, we meaning the body of Christ, should be standing up and taking care of them. Not because we're being told to by the government, but because we're being called to by our God. Because, and I'm just going to call you out as a pro-life person, if you are pro-life, then you better be standing up for life and stepping in when you can and volunteering and giving of your time, giving of some money, doing something to make a difference in someone else's life. So that may not be at Hope Resource Center, but it may be serving your neighbor. It may be serving, you know, your subdivision. It may be loving someone that looks different than you. So that's what pro-life is. And I'm really tired of a society where you can't say you're pro-life without getting some kind of flack or feeling some kind of shame about it. I mean, it really is an upside-down world when we have a society where if I say I'm pro-life, people immediately start making assumptions about me and thinking I'm some kind of extremist. Well, if being pro-life in those cases makes me an extremist, then I guess I will take that and wear that proudly. Because I'm not going to hide behind, and I'm not going to whisper anymore, my stance. You know, I found myself in restaurants lately when I'm talking about these conversations, and because a lot of the meetings that I have, obviously we're talking about life and pro-life, we're going to talk about abortion and those type things. You know, used to I would get real quiet. Now, I'm not saying I'm yelling it in the restaurant because that's inappropriate and it bothers everybody else, but I'm not whispering. I'm talking in a normal voice about my stance on life because I don't mind if people know that I'm pro-life. I mean, obviously, when they see my wife and I walking through a restaurant, walking through a store, we have our two kids. We have Summer and Gavin, and then we have my wife is pregnant. So there's no question I'm pro-life, or there shouldn't be a question. And so I do want people to know where I stand on that. And that's why we do those baby showers, is because we want people to know what we're doing, and we want these families to know that they matter and that we love them well and they've earned it. And in choosing life, they're not in this alone. That's why we have mentors. That's why we have the baby showers, because we want them to know you're not alone in this. We're going to be there for you. We're going to help you in any way we can. We want to equip you to be the best mom and dad that you can be. So let us help and let us serve. And guess what? We're going to do that, and it's not going to cost you a dime financially. You're not going to have to pay a dime. You're not going to have to write a check, bring in any cash, or swipe a card. It doesn't cost you anything. We just want to spend time with you because you're worthy of our time. What a great opportunity we have at Hope Resource Center. When we come back, we're going to talk about an article by Dr. Ronnie Floyd. But I know in my soul, no matter how bad it gets, I'll be alright. We're back. Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. Glad that you're listening. What I want to do right now is I want to talk about an article that was written on FoxNews.com by Dr. Ronnie Floyd. Ronnie Floyd is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I think it's worth all of us hearing, and I don't know how many people went and saw this article, so what I want to do is read most of it. I'm not going to read all of it, but I am going to read most of it because I think it's worth reading. So, it starts, after her show-stopping performance during this month's Republican presidential debate, Carly Fiorina is now polling number 2 among all Republican presidential candidates. But what within the debate actually caused such a sudden rise? If you ask me, it's simple. Mrs. Fiorina was clearly most powerful when she demanded that President Barack Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sit and watch the disgusting Planned Parenthood videos that have broken the heart of America this summer. And if you didn't see that part of the debate, wow, you missed something. So you need to go back and watch that on YouTube. That's my words, not his. You should not misunderstand my appreciation for Mrs. Fiorina's courage as an endorsement of her presidential campaign or infer that I appreciate any of her opponents any less. But unquestionably, her way of talking about the unborn is the key to capturing the heart of evangelicals. I wish this is the line that really stuck out to me from this article by Dr. Floyd. He says, "I wish more pastors in America spoke as boldly in their pulpits about the unborn as Carly Fiorina did at her podium. For it is time to rise up in courage and to call to account those who've allowed the body parts of children to be sold and traded like car parts." Fiorina's meteoric rise is yet another reminder that America remains a deeply religious country that is enraged over the total disregard for human life we have witnessed in our abort-at-will culture. And it's Exhibit A that when a candidate like Fiorina stands passionately for the unborn, we will stand passionately with them. So notice that he's talking about evangelicals here. Obviously, he's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. So he says it's not just what she believes or what she said that captured the attention of America's evangelicals, but it is how she said it. She was clear, articulate, and compelling. She clearly wasn't speaking from talking points handed to her by policy advisors. She wasn't saying it because it was the right thing to say. She was saying it because there was a fire inside of her soul. She spoke more like a prophet than a politician, and she spoke with the fierceness of a mother looking after her own children. She spoke authentically, honestly, powerfully. She personified convictional leadership. This passing moment held a startlingly different tone, and America is rewarding Fiorina for it. So he says, "Our nation has aborted at least 57 million babies." Stop and think about that. A single Supreme Court decision has cost the lives of 57 million Americans. That is the equivalent of destroying the entire population of California and New York. Now is not a time for politicians and pastors to concede one inch on the life issue. On the contrary, we have perhaps never seen the kind of national outrage over abortion as we are witnessing today, and many of us believe again that we might finally see the end of this national shame. Just the other day, I was speaking to an audience of young evangelicals, and I challenged them to stand strongly on this issue, for they could be the generation to finally see the end of abortion. I told them it would be one of America's finest hours. When I said it, they didn't have skepticism in their eyes. They believed it. Science has now fully caught up with theology. And those who continue to argue that life does not begin at the beginning are finding themselves looking more and more on the wrong side of history. I wish more pastors in America spoke as boldly in their pulpits about the unborn as Carly did at her podium, for it is time to rise up. As the elected president of America's largest evangelical denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, there's at least one thing I know about our 51,000 churches and congregations, which represent millions of committed Christians. They will award leaders and even politicians that authentically and passionately value the life of the unborn. So listen to that. That's not an endorsement for Carly Fiorina. There's some other things politically that Dr. Floyd that I disagree with. But what it does show is passion matters. And so if you watch that debate, if you watch the way she speaks about the unborn, just yesterday she was on camera talking to a pro-choice person. And it was, you know, she was very, nice. Both of them were nice. The pro-choice person, I don't think, was out of line in the way she was questioning the presidential candidate. And I think Carly Fiorina handled it well. But she was passionate about what she was saying. And the reason that she was passionate about it is because she believes it down to her bones. And she also knows that truth matters. And truth should carry weight in any of our conversations. So what we saw today was a hearing in D.C. where truth was finally talked about. Last week we talked about Planned Parenthood providing mammograms. Okay, and that's been something that's been pushed You know, Miss Tennessee talked about it. We've heard it on the news. We hear it everywhere. Well, today in the hearing, under oath, the CEO of Planned Parenthood said not one Planned Parenthood affiliate has a mammogram machine, and they don't offer any mammograms. So she said that under oath. So what that means is everything that we've been pushing, the President of the United States has been pushing, everything that's been said is not true. We've been the ones that have been pushing the truth narrative. So what we saw today in that hearing was abortion makes up a lot more than 3% of the money that they're bringing in, a lot more than 3% of the services that they provide. She had to say that under oath. So a lot of the narrative that we've been hearing over the years from the pro-choice side today in one hearing was really just taken apart. And so what we know is truth should carry weight. Truth matters. And so what we also see is we see the videos that have been put out concerning the selling of aborted babies and their body parts. They did a study on those, and what they saw was they were not manipulated. They were not heavily edited. They were not made to make people tell anything that wasn't true, or they didn't, you know, put in words that weren't said. So that's been proven to also be a falsehood pushed by the other side. So what we see clearly is there is something to standing firm and standing strong for your stance on life. And there's something to pushing truth. There's something to being passionate about it. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, if you cannot get passionate about life, then there's something wrong. I just took 3 breaths. I paused for 3 seconds, took about 3 breaths. You don't think I can get passionate about the breath that I'm given? The opportunity to speak, the opportunity to live a life, the opportunity to marry the woman that I love, the opportunity to have the kids that God has blessed me with, the opportunity to look down at Gavin and Summer and my future daughter. I'm not going to take that for granted. I'm going to celebrate that because life matters. And that's all this presidential candidate was doing. That's all Dr. Carson is doing when he talks about it, when Ted Cruz talks about it. When these presidential candidates talk about life, there should be some passion that comes inside of you, that grows inside of them. There's a Greg Gutfeld. He's a someone on Fox News, and he's an atheist. So his pro-life stance does not come from the Bible. It does not come from God. In his mind, it comes from logic, and it comes from science. But what he says abortion is, he says it's like having the winning lottery ticket, and then right before you cash it in, someone rips it up. Because what he's saying is life is like winning the lottery. Getting a chance to live is like winning the lottery. That's coming from an atheist who is saying we cannot be okay with this. We have to stand for life. So when you listen to this, and when you read our blog, and when you look at different things at Hope Resource Center, and you wonder, why is that the issue that they're staking their flag in? Well, it's the issue for me because life is precious. I mean, I was reading that article by Dr. Floyd, and there's part of me that wants to start tearing up because it is so precious. My wife, we had an ultrasound today, so I got to see my daughter, who will be here in December. Life is precious. I got to see her heart beating. I got to see her legs and her arms and her hands and her head and her back and her ribs and all of that. And it's a precious thing to see. So if you wonder sometimes why I get passionate, if you wonder why this issue is such a big deal to me, it's not just winning the lottery. It's better than that. Because what we know and what we see in Genesis is man was created by God. The very breath that we have was breathed into us by God. We were made in His image. So if all that is true, and if you're a Christian, you believe that is true, then what we believe is life is precious. And so every life is important. Every life is worthy of love and care. And so that's all we want to do. That's all the Dr. Ronnie Floyd wants to do, is get people to understand, get pastors to understand, get churches to understand that if there's one thing that you need to stand up for, it's for life. Because it's a great picture. God said, and now let us make man in our image. Think about that. God said that as he designed everything. And so what we want to do is we want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate life. So as you're looking at candidates, as you're trying to figure out who to vote for, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but as you're trying to figure out who to vote for, who stands for life? Every life. Life of the unborn, life of moms, life of dads. Who do you stand for? And so that's all I would ask them, is who they're standing for. I would ask you the same thing. Is this your passion? Spend some time, and I know it's kind of weird, but spend some time just breathing and think about every single breath you take and what all has to happen and what all has to work in order for you to keep breathing. It's an amazing thing. So let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate what's going on. Be passionate about it. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Life Matters. Be back in a sec. And we're back. Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center, the last segment. We're going to talk about Life Matters. So what we've done today is we talked a lot of positive things. We talked about the golf tournament yesterday, raising over $47,000 for Life, over $47,000 for Hope Resource Center. We talked about the article from Dr. Ronnie Floyd, which I think is very important as we talk about being passionate about what we're doing. We also talked about the baby showers, 9 baby showers thrown last week for some of our patients who chose life. It's such a great opportunity to love people. And now what I want to do is I want to talk about Life Matters that's coming up the week of October 11th. So October 11th through the 17th, we are praying. It's a prayer initiative, Life Matters. So what we did was we decided that we would join together. We would pray for our clinic. We would pray for other clinics around the world, that we would pray for abortion clinics and patients and staff and just everything that entire week. So you can find the prayer schedule on our website, investinghope.com. You can go to Get Involved, click on Life Matters, and then you can learn all about it there. You can schedule. You can join us by scheduling and saying, hey, I want to sign up. I want to join you for prayer. And so many people have done that. And wow, we've just been blown away. You know, I told the staff, I was like, I really think we need to open this up to clinics around the country. We need to try to get them engaged and get them involved. And we need to lock arms with clinics all over the place and join together and pray. And so what I had in my mind, what I had when I was thinking about this was, how awesome would it be for us here in East Tennessee to be praying, and that at the same time, someone in California is praying, and at the same time, someone in Texas is praying, and at the same time, someone in Wyoming is praying, in Florida, and someone else in Tennessee, and in Kentucky, and New York, and Pennsylvania. So that was what I was thinking. I was like, man, it would be amazing if all of us could join together and pray to the life giver. So if we fall on our faces and say, God, take it away. This is yours. The work that we are doing is not our ministry. It is yours. So how can we do that? So what we did was we said, let's call it Life Matters. Let's join together and pray. Let's send letters out and emails out to thousands and thousands of clinics all around the country and see who will join us. Well, I'm happy to say that today we reached the halfway point, which means 25 states are represented in Life Matters. 25 states. We've been sharing the image on Facebook and Instagram of the what we have is we have the country, and then we the states that have joined us we've made green, so they're all green and they're all lit up and they joined us. So we have 25 states. The 25th state today was Vermont. Now, if you know anything about Vermont, and you may not. I felt for a little bit, I was really burdened for the people in Vermont. Drove up there one weekend to meet with a church planter and just say, hey, I want to pray for you. Is there anything that we can do for the people here in New England? Because my heart was broke for the people of New England, but specifically Vermont. So it warmed my heart to see Vermont, for me to get an email today saying Vermont, a couple clinics in Vermont has joined us in praying. And the reason I say that is New England is one of the most unchurched people in the country, and Vermont very much so tops that list. And so there's people there praying for revival. There's people there praying for the unborn. There's people there praying for women in crisis and men in crisis. And we think about New England. I mean, that's where some of the greatest theologians that this country has seen, that's where they came from. And so now we have people in Vermont, people in Wyoming, people in Idaho. I mean, we have people all over the country joining together, locking arms and praying. And we are so excited. And I hope that number continues to climb. Like I said, right now we're at 25 states. And man, if we could get 50, that would be amazing. And hopefully next week I'll have another update for you, and that number will be a lot bigger. But half of the states represented is absolutely amazing, and we love that and certainly appreciate that. One thing that I do want to touch on, October 17th, that's the last day of Life Matters. October 17th at night at 7 p.m. in the parking lot of Hope under a tent, we're going to have a worship gathering. A buddy of mine, Wayne, and his wife, Natalie, are going to lead that worship gathering. We're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to just come together and worship and celebrate that entire week. So October 17th, 7 p.m. at Hope Resource Center, bring a chair, bring a friend, join us to worship. It's going to be a great night. We also have Life Matters shirts. You can find those on our website, investinghope.com. Get involved, go to Life Matters, and you can learn about our shirts that say Life Matters. What that does is that gives you an opportunity to be bold in your stance. Wear that shirt out and let everyone know that life matters. We appreciate you joining us. We appreciate you standing for life. And we'll be back next week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks for listening.